Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of the program as the March Madness winds down to the championship game. The focus turns to just how much money colleges have spent to get to this place. Joining us this morning is Jillian Berman, a reporter at MarketWatch.com, who's been covering some of this. Jillian, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The road to the Final Four is not a cheap one, is it?
No, so all of the teams in the Final Four spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars. Three out of the four teams spent more than $100 million on their athletic program. So it's definitely, you know, not an insignificant cost.
Where does the money come from? How do they generate that kind of money, and what are they paying for?
Yeah, so the money comes from a variety of sources, you know, but some of the biggest sources are obviously media deals. They get donations, ticket sales in some cases, corporate advertising partners, and then, you know, often there's a student fee associated with athletics, and so that'll flow into the money. And then even in some cases, too, the athletic department is supported by the broader university. And then in terms of what they spend it on, you know, it's spent on coaching, on paying for coaches' salaries, recruiting, obviously student scholarships, facilities, and things like that.
I know your story talks a little bit about the whether or not it's appropriate to be spending this kind of money if the colleges, if that's an appropriate thing for them to do. Where did the sides come down on that?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a complicated question. Obviously college sports, do they bring something to a college, right? Sometimes visibility, advertising, things like that. And so, you know, colleges, the academic mission often does benefit, right, from having a good sports program. At the same time, you don't want to take away resources that could be spent on, you know, on faculty or other things, you know, with sports. That's a fair criticism. But, you know, a lot of the major sports programs, actually, the athletics department is self-sustaining, which means they're not getting money from, you know, the broader university. So in that case, you know, kind of the conversation gets even, you know, there's another level of complication there.
Mm-hmm. And I like the story, again, on MarketWatch.com. Your story on MarketWatch.com has a nice graphic that shows some of the spending at the colleges. I know we're talking about Virginia and Texas Tech being, I guess, in the championship game after the Final Four, but you have all the Final Four teams there and all the schools and what they spent on athletics and academic. The two areas of spending, athletics and academics, are quite different from each other.
Yeah, so, you know, even at the schools where they are still spending a lot of money on athletics, they do still spend more on academics. So, for example, at the University of Virginia, where they spent $100.3 million on athletics, they spent $1.4 billion on the academic mission. So, you know, academics is still the priority spending-wise.
Some of the other schools, let's see, Auburn spent $132 million, but they have $830 million for academics. Michigan State, $117 million, but $1.8 billion for academics. Texas Tech, $87 million with $702 million for academics. The money spent here is, what the colleges will argue, is for a good purpose. I know when we had talked about the Ramblers last year, the Loyola Ramblers last year in Chicago, they were talking about the return that they would get on that investment. With all of the attention that was paid to their school, it would draw in new contributions and new donations, more students, those kinds of things. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's definitely research that shows that, you know, when a team appears in a visible sort of sports event, that increases applications. So I can't remember what year it was, but a few years ago, Florida Gulf Coast University made it pretty far in the tournament, and they saw a rise in applicants. You know, it's kind of hard to say how well that works. I spoke with the president of Texas Tech, and he said last year when they made it to the Elite Eight for the first time, it didn't really give them a boost applicant-wise. At the same time, you know, getting to the Final Four, he knows that the brand got out there. He mentioned, you know, being on the front page, the front page of the New York Times. So it does definitely, of course, increase visibility, especially, you know, a program like Texas Tech, which is, you know, it's a little bit more, it's very popular regionally, but, you know, maybe a little less popular nationally.
Yeah, and the story talks about how Texas Tech is sort of kind of pulling away from using institutional funds for athletics. Has it been successful in doing that, and what's the model there?
Yeah, so they have in the past, I guess, you know, 3 or so years, they've worked to do that. And the past, I think this last academic year was the first time that they were not receiving, where the athletics department didn't receive a subsidy from the academic mission. And, you know, Texas Tech is one of, I believe, a couple dozen programs that does that. And, you know, the schools that are sort of the most well-known, you know, also have the most lucrative programs. In those cases, they can afford to be self-sustaining. But, you know, it takes a lot to get there. So you sort of have to spend a lot to get to the place where you're bringing in enough revenue that you can say, okay, we don't need to rely on the broader university for funding anymore.
What is the gold mine of revenue for a college like this? Is it just private donations, or is it corporate sponsorships, or both?
Yeah, so I think the media deals are some of the big, that's kind of where a lot of the money comes from. The president of Texas Tech was talking about how, you know, being in a Power 5 conference there in the Big 12 helps with that. So they obviously get, you know, they get a certain amount of money from the conference, and, you know, and then when their games are on TV, and then obviously sort of through their own deals negotiated with media. And so that is really a big source of revenue. And if you're not, you know, if you're not a competitive school and you're not in one of those conferences, you're maybe not going to get as much revenue.
Yeah. And then there's the endowment. We haven't talked really much about endowments, but that's a big part of this too, this conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, so endowments, you know, are definitely a big part of the conversation around, you know, sort of the sources that money, that colleges, excuse me, have for money. And these schools, and, you know, I don't have it offhand, their endowments, but I know schools, you know, some schools have very large ones, upwards of $1 billion. And in those cases, I believe if the athletics department is self-sustaining, they're not going to be using the broader endowment on, you know, on that, but they might, you know, the athletic department might have its own, you know, endowment funding that that it's using to pay for this stuff.
Where there has been controversy over sports funding, it has been where some state schools are involved, where the states, Illinois, for example, our state schools have a lot of funding issues because of our own budget problems.
Yeah.
It's sort of a secondary problem aside from sports that sports has really nothing to do with. Is that a fair way to describe that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, with in states where the state schools are having funding challenges, you know, on the one hand, it's true. Sports has, especially if the athletics department is bringing in its own revenue and paying its own expenses, sports doesn't really have anything to do with that. It's not a drain on the university. At the same time, I think what's troubling for people is to watch, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars get spent on sports, and know that, you know, students maybe in the general population aren't able to get scholarships or, you know, or things like that because the funding is so limited and tight.
Yeah, and extra painful is when those colleges raise tuition to cover some of the cost of those funds. That's, I think, when it hits home the most, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, right, to see tuition go up and to also see the money being spent, so much money being spent on sports, even if it's kind of coming from separate pots, you know, still is hard for people to get behind.
Yeah, and we haven't even got into the conversation of student loan debt and that big problem. Some of these schools that are in the Final Four, the average cost of debt after graduation is about $20,000 for students.
Yeah, and so, you know, and that's, you know, that's a little less than average at all of them. But, you know, it's definitely something to think about, because even at schools where the revenue, you know, where the athletic department brings in its own revenue and pays its own expenses, it's often the case that student fees do go towards the athletic department. So in all the Final Four schools except Michigan State, that is the case. So, you know, that's usually a mandatory fee. And, you know, so eventually it could contribute to a student's debt, even though, you know, often it's a relatively small sum.
Are you picking any winners in the matchup tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not much of a sports commentator, so I will hold off on that.
All right, very good. Well, Jillian, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate your reporting.
Okay, thanks so much.
Jillian Berman, a reporter at MarketWatch. We're going to link out to her story at MarketWatch.com on the cost of getting to the Final Four for some colleges.